Saturday, her folks don't know he's on his way. The stalls are clean, the horse is fed. They say she's grounded till she's dead. Well, here he comes around the bend, slowing down, she's jumping in. Hey, Mom, your daughter's gone, and there they go again.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. We're learning new details about the deadly incident at a Delta maintenance facility at Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson Airport. Two workers died, another was injured. ABC's Faith Abube is near the scene.
At this point, Delta is confirming that this incident happened in the wheel and tire shop of its maintenance facility here at the Atlanta airport. This happened around 5 o'clock this morning. Emergency crews arrived. Two employees were dead. A third is now receiving medical attention.
American consumers feeling more confident in August. The Consumer Confidence Index, which measures short-term expectations over the economy, rose last month compared to July. Israel's military says it's rescued a 52-year-old hostage found alive in the tunnel network in Gaza. The Arab Israeli, one of dozens taken hostage during the October 7th Hamas attacks. And extreme heat building another day in the Midwest and temperatures moving east, leading to schools to be closed. This is ABC News. Districts across the country cutting classes short as strong heat waves move to the East Coast. ABC's Lionel Moise has more.
After starting their first day of school yesterday, students at 63 public schools in Philadelphia will be sent home early today and tomorrow.
We do not have air in our cafeteria and in our auditorium.
Some schools in Iowa also dismissed early due to high temps and no AC. In Detroit, students will be sent home early again today.
They don't have accommodations in a school to where they're providing AC.
Frustrating parents, fueling more calls to invest federal funds in outfitting more schools with AC.
The so-called pharma bro, Martin Shkreli, has been ordered by a federal judge to turn over all copies of Wu-Tang Clan's unreleased album by Friday. Shkreli has been accused of distributing the tracks in violation of his purchase agreement after it was sold to a cryptocurrency collective in 2021. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Our daughter Jessie loves playing detective.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent. So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle.
Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
If it's gotta be clean, it's gotta be Tide Free and Gentle. This back-to-school season, Tide and Downy are giving back with $1.5 million in scholarships. Enter to win. No purchase necessary. US/DC 17+. End September 30th. Rules. Tide.com/scholarship/official rules.
Summer's just getting started, so fill your cooler with the smooth and refreshing taste of Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. It tastes like real iced tea because it's made with real brewed tea. And with a 5% kick of alcohol, Twisted Tea is perfect for the beach, the lake, or wherever you're hanging out and day drinking with your friends. Look for the bright yellow cans. Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. Keep it twisted.
Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Please drink responsibly.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ayler. Both members of the Republican presidential ticket will be back in Wisconsin this week.
Vice presidential nominee J.D. Vance is set to speak Wednesday in De Pere. It will be his fourth visit to the key battleground state in August alone. Vance is expected to talk about the economy, inflation, and energy. Vance's previous stops include Kenosha last week, on the same day Democratic Vice President Kamala Harris held a rally in Milwaukee. In his first trip to Wisconsin since the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee, former President Donald Trump has scheduled a town hall in downtown La Crosse on Thursday. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Nine juveniles from the Reedsburg area are accused of harassing members of the Amish community. They've been cited for disorderly conduct following an investigation by the Sauk County Sheriff's Office. Deputies made contact with the suspect vehicle while conducting extra patrols in the rural Reedsburg area earlier this month due to multiple reports of harassment of members of the Amish community. No information on what specifically the juveniles did has been released, but Sheriff Chip Meister confirms it's related to the Reedsburg area high school football team. The team's first two games of the season were canceled due to conduct by some players. The Northwoods community is asking for state and federal help to negotiate road access with tribal officials.
WXPR reports the town of Lac des Flambeaux and the tribe of Lac des Flambeaux have been in discussions for over a year after the tribe cut off public access to roads on their reservation that lead to private homes. Tribal leaders have demanded the town pay easements that have been neglected for over a decade. The town held a meeting last week with elected officials while it tries to broker a $1.8 million deal with the tribe that would secure easements for 50 years, the tribe is asking for $10 million. Raymond Newpert, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Rounds of showers and thunderstorms will continue to roll through the area today, with some of them potentially on the strong to severe side of things, bringing possible hail, high winds, and heavy downpours. Otherwise, today, we'll still see spots of sunshine with highs in the low 80s. Still owe the IRS? Call Tax Solutions now, 1-800-281-8193. Currently, it's 76.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Grabbed by the different levels of government, we're taking a look at a South Dakota case this morning. And transportation issues are still in the headlines. We'll get the latest. And it's Merck Day here on AgriTalk.
Live on location in Thayer, Missouri, via Farm Journal Studios, this is AgriTalk. This morning, we'll begin with a conversation with Mike Steenhook from the Soy Transportation Coalition. Then it's Caitlin Glover from the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. And later, Dr. Tim Parks from Merck. Directly following the news, Karen Bonert from Farm Journal's Milk. I'm Handsome Newsman Davis Michelson. Now, welcome the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis A., thank you so much, and welcome to Thayer, Missouri, and the Hirsch Feed and Supply and Farm Supply. Hirsch is celebrating its 50th anniversary. Started operations back in 1974, wow. And today is Merck Day at the Thayer location. You can stop in here today and get 10% off your Merck animal health products. And it's a twofer. We're going to be... Yeah, we're going to be back at Hirsch Feed and Farm Supply in West Plains for Merck Day on Wednesday, tomorrow. So, you know what, dude? I just realized something.
Yeah, what's up? We're
in the same state.
We're broadcasting from the same state at the same time.
We are broadcasting same state, same time. And I also just realized this. I'm probably closer to you when I'm in the bunker than what I am down here.
I think that's the case, bro. I Google Earthed Thayer, Missouri. You are you right on the border there? Where is this?
Right on the border. Right.
You are
on
south
the border.
Of Joplin. South and east of Joplin, bro.
It would be nothing to go for a walk to Arkansas for some lunch today.
That sounds about right. Yeah.
You know, I say it would be nothing except for the fact that it's already 87 degrees out there and we're heading for like 97. Today,
be careful, because last time I was down in that area, they had me shoeing horses in Arkansas. You don't want to do that. You don't want any part of that.
That's right. And then you came home to that brand new profession.
Ah, it was a beautiful day.
Oh, wasn't it something? Wasn't it something? All right. We've got a great show lineup here today. Going to be talking about just some of the transportation issues. What's going on with the Canadian Rail? You talked with Josh Linville some about that yesterday. We're going to get back to it today with Mike Steenhook. Then we're going to talk. We're going to talk about a case, another land grab up in South Dakota. We'll get the latest on that from Caitlin Glover, and of course, we're going to talk about what's going on at Merck with Dr. Tim Parks. Looking forward to all the conversations here this morning. All right, man, let's get to the news. What do you got?
Well, I'll start with the weather. The word hot to excessively hot temperatures. Wait, that's like four or five words. They're expected today for much of the Midwest, including the Chicago and Milwaukee metros and a part of the Mid-Atlantic, including the Philadelphia metro, also the southern tip of Florida and a part of Puerto Rico. Severe thunderstorms possible across the Great Lakes region and portions of the Midwest today. Damaging winds and hail are the primary threats there. USDA reports a daily export sale of 127,760 metric tons of corn to Mexico during the 24-25 marketing year.
Yeah, it's good to see Mexico showing up there, but we just need to see it on a more consistent and bigger basis.
Yep. Well, I've got some highlights from the crop progress report. This says August 25 here, corn 65% good to excellent, moving in the wrong direction, 2% below last week's rating at 65% good to excellent, 84% dough, 46% dented, and 11% mature. That maturity rating is compares to 6% on average. We're at 11% mature on corn. Mm-hmm. Soybeans, 67% good to excellent, down a point from last week, 89% setting pods, 6% dropping leaves. And that's ahead of the 4% average. Spring wheat, 69% good to excellent, down from last week, 51% harvested, just slightly behind the average pace. And cotton is 40% good to excellent. And that one fell back 2 percentage points from last week, 89% setting bolls, 25% bolls opening. That's ahead of the 23% average.
Yeah, and this heat that we've got right now is going to be having a big impact on what those crop condition ratings are going to look like a week from today, because they're going to be a lot different. They're going to be a lot different. The growing season is effectively ending for some of the crop today.
Well, crop consultant Dr. Michael Cordonier left his U.S. corn yield forecast at 183.5 bushels per acre, with production at 15.17 billion bushels. Cordonier left his soybean yield at 53.5 bushels per acre, with production estimated at 4.61 billion bushels. Chip, this is kind of at the top end of the range from what I've seen.
Yeah, the corn number is a little higher than what we are expecting at after we wrapped up with crop tour, and then the bean yield is a little under. So, yeah. But those are both pretty much in line with USDA from August 1.
Argentine farmers likely to plant more soybeans for the 24-25 growing season, trimming the area dedicated to corn after the leafhopper plague caused a corn stunt disease outbreak last year. This, according to the Rosario Grains Exchange. Meanwhile, the threat of a mega quake, a series of typhoons, and a week-long national holiday have some Japanese consumers scrambling to purchase rice amid shortages, prompting the government to warn against panic buying. Recent wildfires in Brazil's sugarcane fields, especially in Sao Paulo, are poised to significantly impact global sugar supply and prices. Fires affecting around 60,000 hectares and potentially destroying up to 5 million metric tons of sugarcane are being compared to the severe frost of 2021, but with even greater confidence. Looks like we've got Karen Bohnert. Chip?
Fantastic. Thank you, Davis. Let's bring in Karen Bohnert, editor of Farm Journal's Milk. Good morning, Karen.
Hello, Chip, and I should say hello, Thayer, Missouri.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So what'd you learn from the last milk production report?
Well, you know, Chip, it kind of has felt a little bit like we've been there, we've done that, as a decline in milk production continues. But before we toss that report aside, it also appears that states who've been dealing with the HPAI outbreak, bird flu, saw significant drops in production, including states like Colorado, Idaho, and Iowa. But on the other side, Chip, slaughter numbers, there were up 3,000 head from the month prior. But when you look at our current economics conditions, they're kind of favorable for milk production, especially as we inch closer to fall months into cooler weather. And I think the big question continues to be, how can we grow milk production given how tight we are on animal supply and milk production? But it'll be interesting. Another point, it'll be interesting to see, you know, with this corn silage, what it pans out to be. And you know, from being out there in crop tour last week, in some areas, it could be potentially a bumper crop. We're chopping corn today. But will it be enough to increase pounds of milk without producers having to add cows? Time will tell on that. The winners and the losers, real quick, Chip. South Dakota was up 29 million pounds year over year. So they're, you know, leading the pack. While New Mexico showed the largest decline, down 48 million pounds. So I guess, you know, for dairy with this corn crop, with the corn price, it is favorable that we're having a margin for the first time in a long time. Yeah. But, you know, we have all these upcoming processing plants, and the big ticket question is, can we fill it?
Right, right. We keep hearing more and more about the expansion up in the Northwest, South Dakota, and even up into North Dakota, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
Yep, no doubt about it. All right, thank you so much, Karen. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, thanks, Chip.
You bet. That is Karen Bonert, editor of Farm Journal's Milk. Again, welcome to Thayer, Missouri. We are at Ursh Farm Feed and Farm Supply. It is Merc Day here at the Thayer location. Coming up next, we are going to have a conversation with Mike Steenhooking, the director of the Soy Transportation Coalition.
Nearly 60%. That's how much of their food budget Americans spend eating out each year, according to the USDA's Economic Research Service.
Can I take your order?
To make sure dairy has a place at the table, the Dairy Checkoff partners with leading restaurants, developing dairy-centric menu items that have sold a total of 7.5 billion milk equivalent pounds since 2008.
All right, kids, what does everybody want?
Now that's making every drop count. Learn more at usdairy.com/4-farmers.
And one milkshake.
It's time to cut costs. Your Meristem dealer has the keys. Unlock the NPK you already own with new, improved Excavator AMS powered by Microbialize technology. Excavator AMS is the first and only all-in-one nutrient release and residue breakdown product with built-in nitrogen, surfactants, and water conditioner. Take cost out of your fertilizer and adjuvant spend now. Unlock nutrition faster with Excavator AMS. Learn more and find a dealer at meristemag.com. Always more bushels for less.
The startup of another day. Caring for the land to make sure it's passed down for generations. Regenerative ag practices help build healthy soil, reduce erosion, and hold moisture. Now ADM will reward you for implementing cover crops and other conservation practices with incentives that could pay over $35 an acre. ADM appreciates all you do to protect your land and legacy, and we believe you should be rewarded for it. Visit ADMregenerations.com to learn more.
Another great harvest, thanks to Pioneer brand corn.
Just a few questions.
Who are you?
Kim Kernel, Ag Sports News. I've been chasing your combine for a while. How does it feel getting 10 more bushels per acre over last season?
It feels great. Couldn't have done it without Pioneer. It's America's number one corn brand.
And there you have it, folks, live from the field.
Who are you talking to?
Pioneer, your best year starts here. Learn more at pioneer.com/best yet.
Are you? Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
If the world is your oyster, we've got pearls of wisdom on AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, and welcome back to Merc Day at the Thayer, Missouri location of Hirsch Feed and Farm Supplies. With that in mind, let's make time for this industry spotlight. Joining us now, Dr. Tim Parks, U.S. Cattle Technical Services Veterinarian at Merck Animal Health. Tim, it's good to see you again.
Yeah, always good to be here.
All right. Let's talk about the basics. And I mean, when I think about the basics, I think about upkeep on the animals. And that means you got to be clean of parasites and worms.
Yep, we're one of the focuses here today. We've had the opportunity to spend some time with some of the producers in the area, look at what's going on in their herd. What do we see for worm parasite load? You know, this is the time of year they spend all summer picking them up. Pick those parasites up on grass. If we don't address them during the summer, we're going to have some problems coming into the fall. Want to make sure where we're at. See what we might need to do to really prepare these animals. I mean, fall is in the air. We've got these hot days. The growing season's dropping off on us, but really starting to think about how are we going to market these cattle, when are we going to market them, and cleaning worms out a big part of it.
Yeah, no doubt. And keeping the animals healthy is the dewormer in front of them is kind of a constant battle, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. We need to, you know, deworming is the number one thing we can do in the cow-calf unit to increase profit. And if we do it appropriately, we can add a lot of value right back into the bottom line of this. So, and it also helps set us up for health. Yep. Parasites, they affect feed intake. They affect the immune system. There's just negative impacts that if we can stay on top of that, we're setting the cattle up pretty good system.
Fantastic. Where can we go for more information on deworming?
You know, go to MerckCattle.com. You're going to find all kinds of information out there, not just on deworming, but on the Merck portfolio for operation as well.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah, and stick around because I want to talk more at the end of the show about some different scenarios that we can get out there and take care of the animals, all right?
You bet. Looking forward to it.
All right. Thank you, Tim. That is Dr. Tim Parks, U.S. Cattle Technical Services Veterinarian at Merck Animal Health. Mike Steenhoek, Executive Director at the Soy Transportation Coalition, joins us right now. Mike, my friend, it's good to talk to you again. How are you?
I am doing fine, Chip. It's good to be with you.
Yeah, glad you're here because we need to get our head around a couple of different things that are happening out there in the transportation business. And first and foremost, I'm looking up north of the border, trying to figure out exactly what's going to happen next between the rail workers and the railways. What is the latest?
Well, the latest is that service is returning for now. So you've got that comma and for now, which is kind of unfortunate. Over the weekend, a government agency called the Canada Industrial Relations Board had a ruling that said that the two parties, the railroads and the railroad worker unions, have to submit to binding arbitration to resolve this dispute on this new contract. And while the arbitration process is underway, neither a lockout nor strike can occur. So that's why you're seeing all of these workers return to the job starting yesterday. Now, the union, the Teamsters Canada Rail Conference, disputes whether that agency has the constitutional authority to impose arbitration. So they've said they're going to file a lawsuit in court. That obviously is going to take a considerable period of time to render a decision. So that's why we say things are returning to normal. But then there's this kind of looming storm cloud on the horizon, this court filing by the union.
Yeah, because the unions are not too impressed by the order for the binding arbitration, are they?
No, they're not. And I get that workers should get a pay increase. We all are experiencing inflation. The dollar is not going as far as it used to. Railroad workers, you know, since the pandemic have really had to, since they were essential, they've had to show up to work under less than ideal circumstances. So no one contends that they don't deserve a pay increase. And so we've always been careful that we're not taking a side between the railroads and the railroad workers, but we are on the side of the American farmer. And what's in the interest of the American farmer is having a cost-effective, reliable supply chain that extends north of the border for products that originate in Canada, come to the United States, or originate in the United States, goes to Canada. That's what we need. And so we think they had more than sufficient time to come to an agreement that failed to materialize. And so when that happens, then I think it's entirely appropriate for some intervention from the Canadian government. So we were happy to see that has occurred up to this point.
Okay. Well, and let's just talk about direct trade, because Canada, you know, when we think about meal exports or oil exports, soybean exports, you know, we immediately go to China. We immediately go to Europe. We immediately go to Mexico. A lot of times Canada is further down the list, you know, to list it off, but they're high on the list of taking product from the U.S., aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, they're our number four export market for soybean meal at 614 million exported last year. They're the number one export market for soybean oil at 106 million. So they're an important export market for us. And of course, we know that they produce fertilizer, types of fertilizer yep. that we cannot produce, and that almost 100% gets transported to the U.S. by rail. Yep. So it's really critical to have that reliable rail service between the two countries.
Yeah. Yeah. And the production of their fertilizers is right in the middle of the country. It's not like we can figure out somehow, some way easier to get it to a boat, you know, truck it to a boat and then bring it into the U.S. It's almost got to move by rail, doesn't it?
Yeah, it has. And, you know, these modes of transportation, there is some overlap, but they're not as interchangeable as a lot right. of people think. You know, truck kind of hands off to rail, which then provides the long haul shipment, and then it hands off to truck for the final handful of miles. So you really do need to have that efficient transportation system. And, you know, you got this important baton that gets handed off at yep. the U.S.-Canada border. And, you know, if that does not occur, then you're not going to win a lot of relay races that way.
That's right. That's right. So what is kind of your gut feel or your thoughts on how this is going to resolve?
Well, I think the arbitration process, it will go rather quickly. And then once a contract is imposed on them, there will be a lot of pressure for the union to kind of accept that and return to work. And you know, if the court says they don't have the authority to do that, then what do they then say? Well, we're going to strike once again and reject the conditions of that arbitration. That's going to be really hard for them to do. So I'm more optimistic that service will continue to return. It's certainly not in the Canadian okay. government's interest to have a strike. Right. So that's my prediction. That's what my crystal ball okay. says, but anything can happen.
Okay. Okay. Good. Good. I hope you're exactly right on that. The International Longshoremen's Association, U.S. Maritime Alliance, are in negotiations right now. The current contract expires at the end of September. What's the status there? What's the outlook?
So this is an important issue for the U.S. economy and agriculture as well. So the International Longshoremen's Association, that is the union of dock workers that extends throughout the entire East Coast of the United States, the Gulf Coast, as well as the Great Lakes. And then the U.S. Maritime Alliance, they're the counterparty that represents the port operators and the port authorities and the ocean carriers. And so the Union of Dock Workers, the ILA, they have said that if a contract is not agreed to by September 30th, they are expecting to strike starting on October 1st. And now this would not impact bulk agricultural exports. That's the vast majority of our exports, like at the Gulf of Mexico, to an extent on the Atlantic coast. Wouldn't impact those because those facilities have maybe their own employees that service those vessels or a different union. So it wouldn't be impacted by that. For okay. agriculture, it would impact when you're shipping agricultural products via containers. So we do have soybean meal, soybeans, DDGs, a lot of chilled meats, a lot of poultry products go in refrigerated containers. So it would impact those kind of shipments, which would really be detrimental to those industries. Yeah. But it would have an impact on the broader economy. My thing is, word has it that we're in a presidential election year.
Oh, really?
And so the current administration nor Congress, they want a coastal-wide port stoppage, like they need a hole in the head.
Right.
During an election year. So clearly, as we get closer and closer to that September 30th deadline, there's going to be more and more pressure being applied from a variety of industries. Agriculture is certainly going to okay. participate that. to make sure that we cannot have a stoppage at our East Coast, Gulf Coast, right. Great Lakes ports.
Gotcha. Good update, Mike. Good update. Hey, keep an eye on that Mississippi River, too. It's getting low again. Okay, buddy?
That is indeed happening, so that's a concern as well.
Yep. All right, Mike. Thanks, man. I appreciate you. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Jeff.
You bet. Mike Steenhook, Executive Director of the Soy Transportation Coalition. All right. We are talking about some land issues up in South Dakota. We'll do that next year on AgriTalk.
I am Rosario Dawson. Cancer can be a challenging journey, one that no one should take on alone. And Stand Up to Cancer wants to make sure no one has to. We bring together the best scientists and doctors to accelerate research, leading to more effective treatments. With each new advancement, we're getting closer than ever to our mission of making every cancer patient cancer-free. To get there even faster, we rely on the support from individuals like you, so that through our combined efforts, more patients and their loved ones will see that even though cancer may interrupt the journey, it doesn't have to determine the destination.
The fight against cancer never stops. Thankfully, new and promising treatments can help save lives now.
Let's go further together.
Find out how you can join the mission.
Learn more at standuptocancer.org/AA.
Roots. We plant them, we feed them. They are the foundation. This is Matthew with Bluff Country Feed and Seed. Remember biology class in high school? Most of us didn't get it or slept right through it. Well, we didn't, and we can help build your soil's biology. And biology can be the key to unlocking that next bushel and to help your plants thrive. Strong roots make for thriving communities. Plant your roots with Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
Milk markets are mixed. With this WRDN market update, I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, September milk steady at 22.54, October down 21 to 22.84, November down 13 to 22.13, December milk up 5 at 20.97. Live and feeder cattle markets moving mostly higher. The live cattle markets inching closer to its 100-day moving average. And if it gets above that average, it could potentially mean traders are finding more comfort in the market despite presidential and economic pressures looming. And boxed beef prices were higher. That's also helping the markets. Feeder cattle following the live cattle markets higher as well, as the feeder cattle index closed $1.13 higher, indicating buyers are still aggressively seeking calves. Hog markets moving mostly higher as well, as it's approaching some technical resistance pressures, but is still moving mostly higher. Pork cutouts were up 3 cents. August live cattle up 225 to 185.85. August feeder cattle down 22 cents to 244.27. And October hogs up $1.85 to 182.25. Corn markets are mostly higher. Soybeans and wheat mostly higher. A broader risk on type of trade and ag contracts today helping to support the markets. The exports wire saw 127,000 metric tons of corn sold to Mexico for new crop. That's also supporting prices. New crop 25 corn up 4.5 to 434.5. New crop 25 beans up 3.75 to 1034.
Efficiency is critical for your farming or dairy operation, so extending the life of your equipment, walls, flooring, and machinery by adding plastic liners installed by Osseo Plastics and Supply only makes sense. Plastic liners wear longer than steel and they clean up fast. The call to Osseo Plastics will save you valuable downtime and lower repair costs for years to come. Make the smart choice and call Osseo Plastics and Supply. Have them help you become more efficient with your money and time with plastic liners and resurfaced equipment and flooring from Osseo Plastics and Supply.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. We don't make the news, we render it. AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk and Merck Day at the Thayer, Missouri location of Hirsch Feed and Farm Supplies. Glad that you are with us, and a big thank you to Merck for getting us down here to Southern Missouri to take a look at what is going on down here. You can see Arkansas from here. There's no question about it. All right, let's talk about something that's going on up in South Dakota. Caitlin Glover is the executive director of the Public Lands Council. She joins us right now. Caitlin, it's good to have you. How are you?
I am well. I can tell you that here in Washington, D.C., things are finally starting to cool down a little bit. But unfortunately, the same can't be said for much of the Midwest and the West, where we've really seen fires take off. Yeah. And so as we head into this fall season, certainly we're looking for those cooler temperatures around the corner.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's happening on public ground out there, some of those fires. It's too bad that we don't have some way that we could, you know, utilize those public grounds and maybe get somebody out there getting rid of some of the undergrowth and so on, getting that under control with, I don't know, grazing or something like that. Wouldn't that be spectacular?
Wouldn't it just, though? And you know, I sort of start to feel a little bit like here in Washington, a little bit like a door-to-door salesman of the product that, you know, wait, there's more. The benefits of grazing are just incredible, but it does sometimes take things like fire, some of these big events, for the public opinion around grazing to really galvanize that this is a really good tool, and we can apply it on scale. So there are opportunities, I think, even though there is just so much harm that's still developing right now.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. Okay, let's get on to the main reason that I wanted to talk to you today, and the main reason is Charles and Heather Maud. They are up in western South Dakota. They're under attack is what it is. Give us the details, Caitlin.
Well, you're right. I mean, the situation is just, I mean, almost unfathomable. You have Charles and Heather Maud, a husband and wife family team, a mother and father to two young children. They have been grazing permittees, not only demonstrating the value of grazing, but being really good partners with the Forest Service for quite some time. They have grazing allotments. They have a small hay operation to put up some forage for the winter. And earlier this year, that really productive relationship with the Forest Service took a hard left turn when they were really sort of the victim of a really overzealous law enforcement pursuit of federal criminal charges of theft of federal land. And you know, you hear something like this and it defies reality, because the situation here is that these charges are the result of a boundary dispute between their private ground and where that boundary is with the Forest Service grasslands around them. And so this family, this mother and father, this partner operation, they have been putting together a strategy to defend themselves in federal court. They were indicted on separate criminal charges, something that, you know, we see on like CSI Miami or something like that, where they have to retain separate counsel. And so when you have things like this happen, you're exactly right. It feels like they were targeted. The agency moved outside of the normal process. This is something that is normally resolved through administrative means. And yet you see this poor family, really trying to defend not only themselves, but their right to graze adjacent to federal lands. And that's really, really troubling.
Yeah. Yeah. And if I understand this right, Caitlin, and correct me if I'm wrong, but this chunk of public land is surrounded by the Maud's property. Is that right?
So there are a couple things going on here. One is just a straight fence line dispute where okay. One property begins and one ends. And then, yeah, you're right. There's an inholding here that the Forest Service has known about and certainly should know about, because the Forest Service sort of owns and manages that middle parcel. But the Maud family has managed and farmed and operated, grazed on both of these parcels in question, I mean, the family has been managing that ground since the early 1900s.
There you
go. These lands have been managed the same way for at least the last 50 years.
Right, right. And, you know, this attack happened just in June of this year. What is there any indication of what triggered it?
So really, I think this is just, you know, when you're a hammer, everything looks because like a nail, you know, and, you know, this is a law enforcement officer. Forest Service law enforcement typically deal with things like human trafficking and drugs on federal land. They don't deal with fence line disputes. Those fence line boundary survey issues go through an administrative process. But this individual, this law enforcement team in South Dakota decided that this was going to be their issue of the day and took it out of the administrative process, targeted this family, and really has set about a course of events that has made a lot of permittees, you know, federal grazing permittees, those cattle and sheep producers, question their own relationships with Forest Service across the West.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, what this does, knowing that the mods are dealing with this kind of an attack, the risk is that other ranchers become hesitant to use the BLM ground, right?
Yeah, but, you know, and unfortunately, you know, BLM and Forest Service are sort of painted with the same brush here because they're both federal agencies. They're both supposed to be federal partners. These federal grounds, the forage on these acres not only is incredibly valuable for Western ag production, right? You know, about a half of the national sheep herd, about half of the Western cattle herd spend time utilizing this forage. And it's also important to prevent wildfire, right? To knock down some of these grasses.
Yeah.
And so if you compromise those relationships, it has rippling consequences that are felt not just by the families who have stewarded these grounds forever, but also by rural communities and then ultimately by people even here in Washington, D.C., who look up at the sky in the fall and wonder why there's smoke in the air.
Right, right. So what's the next step here in this case?
Sure. So the mods are going through a legal process. We here in Washington, the Public Lands Council, our national affiliates, the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, the Association of National Grasslands, we have been working with the congressional delegation from South Dakota and other partners in Congress to bring attention to this situation, making it clear that this absolutely should not be a criminal case. These parents, this husband and wife team should not be facing 10 years in prison over a fence line. And so really finding a resolution that's suitable for this family is a huge priority. But, you know, you just mentioned this and it's a good point. So this is the second part of this, making sure that this doesn't happen to anybody else, making sure that the agency doesn't make this a policy where you go to law enforcement before using all of the other tools at your disposal. So there is a two-pronged approach here, but we're really, you know, that's why our national associations are here. We have these tools. We have the avenues to have these conversations and to get some things done. And so we're using all tools at our disposal to make sure that we're not going to see a whole scale change in how federal lands are managed and how disputes are resolved.
Right. Right. Okay. Well, Caitlin, I'm going to rely on you to keep us up to date on what is going on with this case. We got just a couple, 3 minutes left here. What else is on your priority and what else is happening in DC that we need to know about?
Sure. So I mean, it's always dangerous to ask what's happening in Washington because it's sort of a mixed bag, right? But as we head into the fall, we right now in the end of August are looking at a very short legislative calendar. Congress is going to come back from August recess. They're going to be talking about things like what to do about a farm bill extension or view into next year. They also need to fund the government. And so appropriations are huge priorities. You know, there are very short legislative days, just shy of 3 weeks for them to process all of these things. I think we're definitely looking at an extension of a farm bill. I think we're likely looking at the extension of a government funding appropriations package, like a continuing resolution. But we have priorities in each of those to make sure that the agencies who are supposed to be partners have the tools they need to be good partners. But then also to make sure that no one in the agencies or no one with adverse desires for grazing is able to get to get something in there in the end.
Good, good. You got to watchdog it the whole way. There's no question about that. What is the delay in getting the text from the Senate Ag Committee?
You know, I think that's a great question. I think that the challenge with the farm bill is really what that negotiating time looks like. Mm-hmm. You know, you really need a lot of time around the same table to negotiate out differences, not only just between the House and the Senate, but also between the majority and the minority in both parties. And that just didn't happen earlier this year. And so I think, unfortunately, this sort of falls prey to a lot of political whims that are outside of the Ag Committee. But at the end of the day, for us here at PLC, for a lot of our partners, getting a farm bill done is important, but getting it done right is absolutely critical. And so if they need more time to be able to provide those tools, to be able to use, include language that supports the use of grazing as a targeted land management, I think that's what you're going to see them do so that they can get it right.
Gotcha. Caitlin, where can people go to learn more about the Public Lands Council?
So you can visit our website, publiclandscouncil.org. We have social media, and we also have an upcoming annual meeting in Colorado. We would love to see you join us or keep up with us somewhere online.
Speaking of social media, it's football season, Caitlin. Here we go.
It is. Best time of the year.
That's right. All right, Caitlin, keep up the good work. We will talk to you again soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we've got Dr. Tim Parks up next here on AgriTalk.
It's summertime and the living is speedy. At EndTech, we're providing a free back-to-school speed boost to all our existing fiber internet customers this August. Whether you're doing schoolwork or simply streaming your favorite videos, you'll experience faster internet at no extra cost. New customers can be ready for back-to-school season by signing up for fiber internet with EndTech. Call us at 715-672-4204 or visit endtech.net today.
Daily money management from Numbers R Us. It's all the same things an accountant does for a business, but for you. Whether it's an older loved one, a member of the military, or just someone who's too busy or constantly on the road, daily money management from Rhonda at Numbers R Us makes your financial life headache-free and avoids fees, family conflict, and fraud. Rhonda handles bills, deposits, and payments, monitoring accounts, and providing complete transparency. Set up a free visit with Rhonda at NumbersRUs.com.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by right now. They'll tell you if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-7300. That's 800-702-7300. Call now to find out how much your case could be worth.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Tommy! I can't wait for golf this weekend, huh, buddy? Time flies. Love you, man. Oh, don't forget your knee brace again. We aren't in college anymore.
Moments together matter. So help protect yourself from RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60 plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or severe diabetes, you're at higher risk of landing in the hospital from RSV. And there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at vaxassist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Trust it. Tradition.
Joining me is Matt Essick. He is a agronomy innovation leader at Corteva. Matt, Corteva has always been an innovator in soybeans. Now the Z-Series beans are on the market. Tell me about them.
So Pioneer brand Z-Series soybeans kind of were launched for the start of the 2024 growing season, and really excited about them. They're bringing about a 2.7 bushel yield advantage over our current A-Series soybeans, which really have been the industry standard for yield. So it's pretty exciting to bring that level of yield to the marketplace.
Absolutely. Now, natural resistance to things like soybean cyst, nematode, SDS, all very important to producers. How did the Z-Series beans stack up on those crop protection issues?
Yeah, soybean cyst nematode, which we battled for several years, and we relied heavily on that PI 88788 source of resistance. And the A-Series beans brought us a few Peking beans, and Z-Series brings us even more with 13 new varieties that have that Peking source of resistance. So it gives us multiple modes of action that we can fight that pest with.
Oh, absolutely. 13 new varieties. How many new varieties are in this offering?
So totally across the board from a wide range of maturities, we've got about 50 new soybean varieties. So gives us lots of options from north to south, east to west, to be able to help growers conquer some of those acres and provide the highest amount of yield possible. We also brought a pretty strong improvement in agronomics, about a half a point increase in sudden death syndrome scores, along with a half a point increase in iron chlorosis, and then about 0.6 of a point increase in the tolerance to white mold. So just lots of good things coming with this set of varieties that the research team has been working on for several years, and finally get to see those come into the field this summer.
Excellent, Matt. Where can we go for more information?
Either talk to a local Pioneer sales rep or visit pioneer.com and look for more information on the Z-Series soybeans.
Thank you, Matt. That is Matt Essick, Corteva Agronomy Innovation Leader.
Protecting your nitrogen is smart. And a nitrogen granule with a polymer coating that releases in response to conditions that promote plant growth? Well, that's me. I'm the environmentally smart nitrogen granule that gives the nutrition crops need when they need it, reducing nitrogen loss and increasing nutrient availability. Imagine feeding me to your fields. Me. Now, wait a minute. Hey, can I rethink this? ESN Environmentally Smart Nitrogen Fertilizer. Learn more at smartnitrogen.com.
Are you a farmer stressing about grain prices? Ready to boost your bottom line without sacrificing performance? Meet Meltdown by BW Fusion, the original nutrient release product trusted for decades and used on millions of acres. Meltdown breaks down crop residue and releases P and K nutrients. Start seeing cost savings and crop productivity in your first year. Transform residue into revenue with Meltdown. Visit bw-fusion.com/meltdown or call 888-429-3874.
The best talkers in ag, including you. Join the conversation on AgriTalk. Call us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. It's Merc Day here at Hirsch Feed and Farm Supply, Thayer, Missouri. Stop in here today, get 10% off of your Merck animal health products. And as I said, it's a twofer. We're going to be back at Hirsch Feed and Farm Supply in West Plains for Merck Day tomorrow. So looking forward to that. Back with us right now, Dr. Tim Parks, U.S. Cattle Technical Services veterinarian. Let's stay on deworming, okay, Tim? And prevention is best. Prevention is best, but how do you know that you might have a problem with some parasites?
Yeah, that's the big question that we always ask. Do you have a worm problem? And,
right.
and the answer is always no, but you know, if we're not looking to see what we got, then we don't know. So we recommend, you know, that we do fecal exams, you know, just get an idea of what's going on. We're in southern Missouri. We're down here. We're in cow country. They got moisture. They've got green grass. This is the area that breeds. It breeds parasites, and it's the nature of the business. So, you know, we've got to look and see what's going on. We spend a lot of time focused on the cow, but what we got to remember is really about 90% of that worm population, that parasite load's really out on the pasture. Let's get an idea of what's going on in the cows, and then we can start to address not only the cows, but how can we start to reduce, be in that preventative mode, so we're not having the negative impacts that worms can bring to our herds.
Okay, so we can do some fecal testing, but just watching your herd, what might you see out there that makes you think there's something wrong?
You know, a lot of people are going to look at them, and if we get cattle that are to the point that we're seeing clinical disease, we're well into a problem.
Now you're in recovery.
We're in recovery mode. We're not talking about prevention. We're talking about treatment, going to try to work our way out of that. So, you know, people look at hair coats and see rough hair coats and associate that with parasite loads, but there's all kinds of things that can come into play. But, you know, in all honesty, cows will develop an immunity. So we tend not to see some of the negative impacts. Calves are developing the immunity, but we can sure see that impact take place there. So really the best thing that we can do, work with your veterinarian, work with others. Let's check.
Okay. So on the calf side of things, it's got to be part of the preconditioning effort, doesn't it?
Oh, you bet. That's where it starts for me. I think we clean worms out. Now we've got an animal that's ready. They're ready to respond to a feed. They're ready to respond to vaccines. We've set them up to where when we start thinking about preconditioning cattle and getting them ready for that next move, it starts with deworming. It's the foundation of it. No doubt about it.
Right. Yep. No doubt about it. And I want to talk more about preconditioning this afternoon, if we could. But the bottom line is, if you've got animals out on pasture and you're not and you don't have a deworming program in place, you probably have got worms. So let's talk about prevention. What is the best way to go about prevention?
You know, the best thing we can do, let's put cattle that are parasite free out. So let's deworm those cattle before we go to grass. And once we put them on grass, we look at the life cycle of the worms. It involves green grass. It involves moisture. Spring of the years, that's when we start to see worm loads really start to build. We get into this time of the year, we've got a lot of worms that are shedding a lot of eggs. We need to do something on grass. So there's a lot there's opportunities that we have where we don't even have to run through the chute. You know, we have product safeguard line products that we can put in the feed. We can put in the mineral to where we can actually address the issue while they're on grass and clean the cattle out. But again, think about the pasture. Right. That's what our ultimate goal is. This whole thing behind strategic deworming, we're going to deworm the cattle to reduce the amount of egg shed that's taking place onto the pasture that leads to the infective stage that's really causing all our problems.
Right. Now, there are those efforts that you can take without running the cattle through the chute, but they're going to go through the chute at least once a year. When that happens, what do you want to do to those pasture grazing cows?
You know, when we have them, when we bring them in the fall of the months, coming off grass, they're going to be carrying parasite load. Let's clean them out.
Don't miss an opportunity here.
You know, the last 2 years, we came out of the highest hay we've seen in a long time. You know, luckily we've got a lot of it this year, but the winter months is the most expensive time to feed those cattle. Let's clean those cows out. Let's clean the calves out that we're going to be keeping around, so they can better utilize the feed steps we put in front of them. They're going to grow better. Their health's going to be better overall. It's just it great starting point.
Giving the animal an opportunity to be efficient when you get rid of those parasites, correct?
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. So if you don't, your feed consumption, everything just gets out of whack on that animal. What about, does it affect the breeding?
We can see decreased conception rates. You know, we go back to 2007, a study that was done, and it showed that at that cow herd level, deworming, there was a $201 value to that cow calf unit. That goes back to reproductive efficiencies, milk production, just overall growth. So, I mean, it affects the entire cow calf unit. It's not just that we have a calf that doesn't want to eat, or we've got worms that are competing for feed. It really affects that entire cow calf unit.
Yeah. Now when that calf hits the ground and he's worth $1,000, you kind of want to take care of them, don't you?
And we want them to get the good out of every piece of grass they eat too.
Yeah.
So, you know, make sure that if we have cattle clean going to grass, address it with non-handling products like Safeguard while they're on grass, that when we work our way to the fall, those cattle, the gain's going to be there. They're just going to be in much better shape.
Yeah. And, you know, don't forget about the bulls too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. A lot of people, when we handle cattle on grass, one of the biggest things that problems we run into is they look at the cow numbers, they forget about the calf that they're going to consume, and they forget about the bulls. We've got to address all aspects of that calf business.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And take every advantage that you can right now. Those cattle are worth a whole bunch of money out there. And, you know, we're probably going to come back to this a little bit, because guys are buying heifers. A lot of those heifers are going to the feed yard because they're worth so doggone much in the feed yard. Eventually, they're going to start going out onto pasture. I want to talk about what to do with those animals too, okay?
Looking forward to
it. You bet. We'll do that this afternoon. That is Dr. Tim Parks. He is, I've got it right here, U.S. Cattle Technical Services Veterinarian at Merck Animal Health. Thank you so much for listening this morning. Come back this afternoon. We're going to have a conversation with Chris Swift from Swift Trading Company, and I'll be right back here in Thayer, Missouri at Merck Day.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
When it comes to growing soybeans, you need an advantage. And with Citavo soybean seed, you get a big one. 3.4 bushels per acre big. It's a yield advantage made possible by BASF genetics, proprietary germplasm, and industry-leading seed quality. Talk to your retailer today about staying ahead of the game with Citavo soybean seed. Distributed exclusively by BASF.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like trying to find a needle in a haystack. But with ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology, you can find the needle in the haystack. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Bob. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a